I'd like to call to order this work session for the Monroe Public School Board of Education. Today is May 9th, 2023. The time is 5:30. Could we have roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Here.
Mr. Hack.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Could we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'm going to turn this over to you, Mr. Shaw.
All right, so our first item is bond and sinking fund projects update. Last night I was asked to see if Mr. Kohler could join us tonight. He is unable to. We were up on a roof at the high school and having a conversation right there, and he's busy tonight. But when we were wrapping it up, Tim and Dave and myself were able to have a conversation around sinking fund projects and what we would like to see done. So I'm going to start there and then get into the update you see of projects that are in front of you tonight. What we've asked out of Mr. Kohler will be is, one, to construct a list of projects that have been completed that require us to keep general maintenance on. And for example, that could be parking lots if they need to be resealed. And I don't believe we have any roofs that need any kind of a coating right there, but I know that we're looking at the high school roof, and we're next to this one wall, they had sealed it. So we have different projects out there that have been completed, and so there's a needs to be gone back over to make sure, okay, do they need to be on a cycle of update there so we don't miss things. And so he'll be getting that part to us. But what he also expressed was the need for us to go through because of the bond work and because of our things that we've already accomplished in the sinking fund to really evaluate where we sit as a district. And he said about 5 years ago they went through that, the district went through that process and really analyzed that. And so he will be coming forth with that. When we met after that walkthrough of looking at that roof, he knows the timeline. We want to get that done as soon as possible. But tonight, though, we're going to get into the projects that we have in front of you and then what the cost is on those projects. And then Cassie will also get into the amount of monies that we have available in sinking fund. So the first project you see in front of you tonight will be carpet replacement. And so Tim or Dave, also be sure to chime in right here. So that carpet replacement was put out to bid, and that was for two of our buildings, and I believe that was at Custer and
Arborwood North.
Arborwood North. And so you can see that bid process was handled, and the total cost of that project would be $81,478. And this is a standard sinking fund project. We've seen that from time to time. And if you're looking in your book, that should be right around page 137.
Oh,
yep.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, 137. Thanks, Larry.
Yep. So you can see in there that district carpet placement was sent out for bid in April. 8 contractors received bid packets, and 1 bid was returned. The bids were open on Friday, April the 14th. Bids have been reviewed, and the lowest bidder was Runyon's Home Decorating. There's a recommendation that of the lowest bidder, Runyon's Home Decorating of Monroe, be awarded the 2023 carpet replacement project. So Dave or Tim, Dave, you guys have anything you want to add to
I would just say that the focus this year on that, and Tim, please chime in, was with the bond work, there was such extensive amount of work at Custer 1 going back and forth. Even though it was covered, it really wore that out. So it's like the first thing you see when you walk in. So it really needed to be replaced to match that. And Arborwood North, the same thing with the amount of bathroom work. I mean, they were down to the dirt and hauling cement back and forth. And I think that's a good call that we fix that. Normally, there's classrooms. Tim assesses the entire district for the rooms that need the trip hazard safety, but I think in this situation that there was a lot of work in those buildings that just kind of wore that carpet out.
Yep. And if you were to, if you looked at Custer 2, that was a building that the project's been done a year prior. And that building really, carpet was laid in late August. I mean, it was being put down in about, I think it was literally like, it seemed like 3 hours later, kids were walking through for open house just about. But that building was done. It really made it pop. It looks great right there. So that's a project that is in front of you there. The next item is on found on page 153. And that is a generator, and that is for related work that goes alongside of a generator for Custer 1 and 2. As you know, we already have a full-functioning generator at Monroe High School, and working to add generators to the different buildings we have so that for freeze-ups. Know that these generators will power a lot. To say that it's going to power every single thing and run it like what we are in this building right here, where we can still function at that high level, you won't be able to go that late, because the Custer 2, you might be able to get to that level, but Custer 1, to get to that kind of level, you have to put a diesel generator in, and so you take your cost and just, like the high school, I think it was about $1 million you spent on that generator. So, but the idea is that this has been a project that's been sitting out there for years. I've heard about generators going into our buildings, and it started a long time ago. And
at least 15 years.
Yeah, and so that conversation has been had there. You can see in there in the bids that we saw Romanoff came in at $474,000, and then the price went all the way up to $642,000 for that work there. And so it is being recommended that the generators be put into those two buildings. For a cost. Yes, ma'am.
We discussed previously about someone, Raisinville, being the school that has the most power outages and the most difficult to maintain electrical. Why was they chosen over Raisinville? Based on that criteria that someone chose.
Right, right. So I can't answer that one for you.
Who made the decision what schools they go into?
If I can,
yes.
I think part of the reason was we were already doing some mechanical upgrades and HVAC upgrades at Raisinville this summer, so I don't know that it was feasible to also do the generator at that same time.
Okay.
I wasn't involved directly in that particular decision, but that's what I could glean from the situation.
So these decisions were made a while back?
In order to have the bids sent out.
Like before us? Yes.
I
thank
can't
you.
Say yeah. how far back, but
the
so those conversations happened. All of these decisions were already made.
Correct.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
That discussion would have happened well before Mr. Kohler developed everything for the bid to even go out, and then for us to receive the responses. So this would have been discussed
months
quite
ago.
Some time ago.
What kind of work is
thank you.
Being done at What kind of work is being done?
The ESSER HVAC upgrades to and.
That takes care of the univets?
Yes.
Yes,
right?
That's
yep.
heating and cooling. We're yep. both part of that package.
Why couldn't they do electrical? I guess I don't understand that part, do you?
What do you mean? Yeah. I think they're doing it all at once.
So.
No, not doing a generator, right?
They're not that I'm aware
not,
of.
A generator is
not
set for Raisinville yet.
Oh, okay.
This
well,
is just for
but we're going to get one.
Yes. So one of the plans that we've talked about, and Tim, feel free to hop in here too, is that buildings are being prepped out so that if we see a power outage coming, that we can rent and put one in. The real, and so that make it a lot quicker for us there. And so and one of the things we talk about is like even well ahead. So we can see a storm is coming, pre-rent it, and then if it doesn't show, great, but it's better than the situation we're in.
Tim, how much does it cost us to rent one of those like I know we rented some for the high school. Portable.
The three-phase one that we had to use, you know, at the smaller buildings. That was probably at roughly $3,500 a week for emergency. The issue with getting those is, one, the county's down, everybody's down. There's only so many available, so you really scramble to get it, to cure it, and to have it. We were fortunate to go through Baker Ace, and they kind of did us a little favor and was at the front of the line, so that helped in that regard. But I do believe too that Raisinville is somewhere on the radar down the line. As Cassie noted, there's no way that anyone ever made it into this year's project.
Yeah.
They do the boilers and all the univets first. Mm-hmm. But I would have asked that I live out in Raisinville, and I guess it runs out on the
the.
The same grid, but it's, I do believe it would have been too much to even think you could have procured it. I'll have to give the boiler work to you, but this year, but.
I mean, I don't know, maybe Romanoff would do that too if we gave him a big enough bid. They wouldn't get in the way of the HVAC people, I think, Tim, would they, or? I mean, they wouldn't get in the way of the HVAC people, right?
They've been actually like right in the same area. Designed to kind of be laid out for the future.
Will we put that on the south side of the building, is that the thought there? South?
Towards the south, east, yeah, and then you, yeah, so between the playground and where the side entrance is now, it would be off and away from the building. But that was just kind of the general scope I saw of the conversations that were going on it, but.
What type of, what size of a generator would we need out there, Tim?
I don't know anything else, but I do know that as Andy had stated, I think they were trying to stay below having to get into diesel and stuff.
Yeah.
And while we cover a good portion of that, it's just, you know, for the sound and the absolute cost. But I'm gonna say, I don't know, and I suppose I guess that it wouldn't be that far off of maybe what they're trying to spec for the cluster building.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we lose some, I mean, almost every year, those univents freeze up on us. And I mean, that's a big project, especially that wind coming out of the west there. I mean, it hits the whole side of the building.
So the other factor you have on this, too, would be is that we're a year out before this generator shows. So we still have to prep a whole year before that generator will be in place.
Yeah.
So it's.
Because we're that far behind in everything.
Yeah. So we're already, that's why I said we're prepping out. We'll have conversations around the glycol. We'll have conversations around having things prepped out so that, and it won't be as easy as our home where you can go just rent it, plug it in. I know our electricians, when we were jockeying generators at different buildings, it took a lot of work for them to do that. But at least we know that we can get generators in there and can make that happen. So, but no, that's part of that plan as far as, okay, when it comes back to you, and going back to when we bring that forward from Kohler, that list of all these different items, then becomes an idea of, all right, now let's start looking at what do we want to put in here. While at the same moment in time, we're still looking at, I mean, we're going to be bringing back to you answers on the pool. You'll be seeing the football stadium, and then and other projects too that we'll just. That we've been asked to make sure to get that information to you.
So you say if we did raise the bill, we could be up to $1 million, is that the thought?
If you were to do, so no, so you have two buildings on here, and when I talked to Jerry about this project right here, he really said, you know, if you look at Custer One size-wise would be similar to Arborwood South and or Raisinville. So it doesn't have in here, it broke down by, you know, that cost of
kilowatts.
Of what each generator, you know, what the cost is for Arborwood, I'm sorry, Custer 1 or Custer 2 there. I was really hoping I could have seen that.
So about $500,000 if we did have to have that.
Yeah. So if you're looking at $474,000 for the two buildings.
Oh, that's for both of them?
That's for both.
That's for both.
Okay. So I would be. I'm going to venture to take $100,000 off. So you're looking at.
I wouldn't think so.
Probably about $400,000 to do that building.
And those have the AC, so that's going to, if you want to, it makes sense. And I think part of the problem was the ESSER money came post planning for those other generators. So those are ordered. They're so far out to get them anyways that it's probably a good thing, I'll be honest with you, because we might have spec'd them out pre all this new HVAC stuff, and they might not have handled the entire building.
No, they wouldn't have if we just stuck AC in it.
Well, we just have coils there. We don't have the AC, right? We just put the coils in.
Put the coils in, but I think they are eventually air conditioning the
building,
correct?
Well, I mean,
correct?
I think, I mean, right now we just have coils, I think.
Raisinville, is there adequate gas supply out there as far as the gas line size?
Yeah, there's a pretty good gas line around
out
there.
In the board packet, there was pages, and it had
we don't want to get
all the listing out of the bond proposal and all that. It's not in here.
Every so often.
I can't noisy. Print it, and I'm like, okay, it's in here, and I can't find it.
Water and diesel.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? It had the listing of all the bid packages and all that. And
yeah.
Actually, I had questions on it. But
if you have a.
I thought it was in the board packet. I thought that's where it was at, but you know I could be wrong, but I knew I couldn't print it to bring it.
Yeah,
It sounds like you're talking about the, it's something that I provide in board briefs that lists out all the different projects with.
So it was in the board briefs.
And it has their contracted amount, the contingency amount. Yeah, that's in board briefs.
Okay. Could we get a copy of that? Because we can't print from, I can't print from the Monroe School stuff.
Yeah. If you can, find that one right there.
I can.
Not right this second.
Jamie, I can.
Because it's going to be, we're going to be there a couple moments anyways.
I can send it to mine and then grab it.
So the next project that is in front of you will be also for concrete work, replacement at Monroe High School. Tim, you want to talk a little bit about that one?
So some of the main entrance ways went down Boston Lane at Senior Wing, the entrance by the auditorium as you walk past the weight room. Some of that stuff is really had to pull taken out and it's going to be pulled out and replaced. There's a old section of dilapidated pavement that's up by that auditorium entrance. It's kind of real focal points and some safety hazards. So those were the main, I think it's definitely C Wing, B Wing, and I think A Wing was done last year, if I recall. But then we added the entrance to the weight room there, which was dilapidated. So all flat work.
And so that total cost is $136,135 for that concrete work out there at Monroe High.
Tim, is that a 4-inch or is they putting in 6-inch reinforced?
It's important and thicker. I know the front entrance one, that we poured that intentionally thicker, 6 to 8 inches, so that it could be driven on if it had to be for delivery. We still put those pylons out there to try to reduce traffic where we can, but they have been spec usually to be poured thicker. Or, you know, like on the ends of the wings and stuff, we're tiny, we can actually get on those with trucks, you know, when we need to, if we're in a rush, you know, racing the clock to spread salt and that type of thing. So they had in the past been all designed thicker.
And these right here are 8 inches.
I wouldn't know, I couldn't tell if they were 8 inches, but I'm certain they're designed thicker than 4, but I don't have that.
Yeah.
It says. 6-inch
reinforced.
Like the footer section in front of those doors were done a year or two ago. That was Jim Palmer, that construction did that. And right at the door where you see the look at your apron and the footer portion of that was done. Yeah,
there's no
so
specs.
This is all set out and more of just flat work, basically.
Yep. So that's the Singing Fund projects. And and so I know we're going to be presenting around the PA, and so there's going to be more information on that. And so what I had Cassie do today was pull all of our Singing Fund, what's been budgeted for, already approved for this year, what is sitting out there that's in front of you tonight, and then what's left, because I think that's the key. And so, Cassie, if you want to just take a second.
Is that go. In
here? No, because we just tallied it all up this afternoon.
Right now, we've had approximately $1.3 million in expenses to date, which would have been projects that were approved last year and were done over the summer and maintenance things that occur normally each school year. There's currently $762,000 in purchase orders for projects that were, again, already approved. With the motions that you have tonight, that's $700,000 for the PA system, $82,000 for the carpet, $475,000 for the generator, and $137,000 for the concrete at Monroe High. That's roughly $3.5 million in projects. Our ending fund balance at the end of last fiscal was $3.8 million, and we receive approximately $2 million in property taxes each year. So that gives us $5.8 million in the sinking fund to utilize. So if all these projects tonight are approved, in addition to what was already previously approved, we would still have $2.3 million left in sinking fund balance, which we do like to try and keep $1 to $2 million in there just in case something catastrophic happens. That way there is some reserve to do necessary items that can't be covered by the general fund.
And that refills $2 million every year?
Yes, we get... thanks to the voters.
Yay.
It was renewed for another 5 years.
So it's 2 years for every consecutive.
And it does vary based on property taxes, property values in the areas. But yeah, it's roughly $2 million each year.
What, now, if we, for example, tackle the asbestos project at Arborwood North, what kind of money are we running into there, Cassie?
I don't have the ability to project out how much that kind of project would cost.
No. So on that one right there, that's
Clark
part of.
Had some thoughts. Tim, did he share those with you?
South,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The ceilings and stuff.
Right.
South.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have any knowledge of cost of that, but I know that that's the building that, you know, the low ceilings and stuff, and those ceilings remain and need to be abated at some point down the line, that those are still asbestos.
Yeah.
And what I'm concerned with, Tim, is the fact that, I mean, those tiles, not only are they asbestos, but they're falling down. Some of them are loose and falling down and they're becoming friable at that point. I mean, you know, so we're exposing our children to asbestos.
Well, I wouldn't think we're exposing kids to asbestos.
Well, if the tiles are coming down in the ceiling, I mean, I can't believe that.
We'll actually have Tim address that.
Do we have ceiling tiles coming down?
I'm not aware of them in the hallways at South, but that's not to say that there isn't some for sure. I actually was thinking of more solid applied ceiling in there, to be honest with you. My thought process is sitting there, as opposed to tiling, being that honest, but I would have to revisit it and look at it myself. I do know that there is content for certain of asbestos in those lids. How it's applied, or if it's in the tile or the solid applied board,
Well, Dave was telling us when we went through, and I think Scott was with us too, that those were asbestos tiles that we didn't have to, but I mean, you know, we really should tackle it some.
Yep.
And there were a few that looked pretty bad.
Yep.
It was on the plan to do last year, remember? And we just didn't have the time to do it. And it was done in sections, each section of the hall.
Yep. Yeah.
But
so,
it should be all solid and secure. I haven't seen anything loose in the hallways.
I didn't know this year, but they were last year when Scott and I went through.
So DMD, who is our, they take and run the quality of the air quality through an abatement project, so they actually put the bid package together. They will be working with and coming in, and that's one of the requirements here is not only for Kohler to do his show us a lot of stuff, and we talk through, but more about even the abatement. So we'll have, who's our guy from DMD? Okay, I was thinking about the other guy, but and so but they'll come in because they literally, we were doing a walkthrough for this coming year's bond project, and they were literally, because we were having to make sure, okay, do we have any areas that need to be abated, and they had their book out and seeing it all, going, nope, we're here, we're fine, and so, but to have them come in and share where our buildings are at, so you know, okay, is that something we really need to attend to? Throughout the summer, in the future, work here, right, these next 5 years. There is some abatement, like in those three buildings that we're doing the ESSER work in, there is some abatement going to happen in the mechanical rooms, but it's not a lot that will happen there. But
did you say they test air quality?
Yeah, so when you do an abatement, so let's say this ceiling right here had to be abated, they actually seal it off, and they are constantly testing the air all around.
While they're removing it, or just as a tester? I thought you said, so while they're removing it.
While it's being removed, and then even after the fact, so that way they can make sure that.
But not prior to test whether something needs to be done or changed.
No, the air, when they come in, they do tests, okay, like they would, test this ceiling, going, is it asbestos or not? Is the flooring asbestos or not? Okay, but then if it's been deemed that it is and we're abating it, then DMD does the air quality.
That's a whole different thing.
It's a whole, when we're doing the abatement work.
But that's not how you determine whether there's a risk of asbestos. It's by visual.
Any area, like if it was suspected in the ceiling, they'll come and cut a section properly to wet remove it and stuff, and then they take it back and test it.
But we already know that that's the case in this.
Stuff, and they actually have extensive records with us where they're very in tune with what we still would be looking at for. It's always one thing. If for some reason we pulled up carpet and exposed tile, it automatically gets tested if it's loose or could become friable. You know, so they're always pulling tests. well, like say if we were abating in this room is totally sealed and they're constantly testing all the way around it to make sure nothing's escaped and nothing's releasing, and then that building can't be turned over for other work or anybody to inhabit it until it's all tested out in the internal. So the testing is, you know, from the beginning to say, yeah, it's there, that we're monitoring, and one of those testers has to be on site the whole time that work's being done, and then up until completion before they'll release it, it has to have air quality. But they're responsible for their 24-hour posting periods and everything that has to, you know, to occur for us to know. And we're usually involved, I'm involved, just in general, to go and talk with the buildings, hey, you're going to have some of this. You know, if you see the signs, it's you know, legality, we got to have them up there, but don't want people to get, you know, run scared to know that it's being properly managed. And we do work very well closely with that environmental group.
I understand that process. My husband is actually an asbestos, whatever that thing is you call that does that. I was just thinking of the risk. If the gentlemen are saying that the tiles look pretty damaged and they look pretty rough when they did their inspection, and we know that that's asbestos, how are we now being able to say that there's not a risk? If it's already, because my understanding is once it's exposed, correct? That was just I'm following the conversation here.
I think the problem that they had last year was that they had those windows on the top there and they had to somehow.
You think they're okay?
I didn't want to say cut them off because you can't do that. But I mean, you had to somehow work around those windows.
Yeah, you do.
But that's part of so.
If we could do that next year, that would ease my mind.
Well, so that's part of the evaluation. We'll have DMD confirm where we're at with any of our abatement work, and then even looking at is there structurally sound, and then if we need to abate it, then we do, and then but that comes back to, you're right, that bigger plan of like, okay, this is the list of 10 items that we have available, and is this what year do we want to do this in, and so
let me just keep it on the list, right?
Well, that's why Mr. Kohler, when he comes in, we'll talk about all the different, there will be an extremely detailed list of items across the district that we need to do general maintenance on, stay on top of that, along with projects that just need to be looked at for the future. And then we just prioritize it out. We know, example, we're talking about generators. Well, if we want to keep generators as a high priority and abatement, well, that's where those things, everything else goes down. Or is it concrete? Or what is it that we want to attend to, you know, from there? So. Oh, no.
Can he come next time, Andy, or when can Mr. Kohler?
So Mr. Kohler, when we talk to him, it's going to take some time for him to pull that material together, to really sit down with us to be able to say, okay, this is what we know. And but let me do some more work with him and see what you're looking for.
And do we still have that 1, 2, 3 priority list around somewhere? I know some of those got done in the bond work, but are they around somewhere, or can we?
It's never been like just totally accessible to me.
Oh.
But I would guess that, sure, they're still there.
Okay.
You know, I think Mr. Kohler explained it well.
The
bond itself kind of forces away from some of the
prioritizing
of the site sinking stuff we were doing regularly, and as Andy mentioned, we know that we need to get sections of roof and sections of parking lots and break that up and get that work back into that mix, as well as some mechanical upgrades at some other buildings that wouldn't necessarily make, you know, bond type items, but things that we should have a good working list to prioritize.
Yep.
How is our roof? I mean, I think our roofs, are they still under warranty, all of them, or do we have some not under warranty now?
We don't have any that aren't under warranty. We've got some that are getting close. And some that are still, some that have 30 years and some that have probably 5 or less. And that's, like I say, I would hate to see that get taken off the radar. That, it's just always a moving target. And when you pick a building, you can't say like a middle school, because that's been done in so many sections. There's maybe 6 different sections of warranty roofing at different stages of its life, you know, there. So, but they do an excellent job. We have the roofing book that they keeps up on, really spells that out in the sections. Should I have somebody report a leak or something in an area, I can refer to it. I automatically have the company that did it, how long it's warranty for, along with the warranty number, and that's an ongoing thing. You know, should we get storm or inclement weather, we're up there, we're checking them. Is there any cracks, you know, anything we need to have looked at?
Yep.
know, sometimes it's, you know, scope that's not warranted because maybe construction and somebody drops something and cuts something, so.
Right.
Constant revolving.
On the pool, we had that replaced, right? Or did we just repair that?
Yeah, no, that was all new.
Is also the gymnasium, I know that was developing a leak, I think last year, was that?
They were on that.
Was that you today?
That's where we were at today.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yep.
How's that one coming?
Gymnasium, we don't have a roofing problem, we actually have a
Underlayment?
Wall issue that really needs some additional, some flashing and some weepers and some stuff additionally put into that. That will help us maintain and correct a lot of that.
Yep.
There was a start on that last year and just the time allowed to pick, you know, sections of it. And I'm sure we'll have to see some continuation to correct.
Yep, and we were on that today. That is a project that we addressed this summer because bid pack five, actually that's the hallway right there where we see some of those leaks. And so that's why we're gonna get it addressed this summer to make sure we don't have leaks because we wanna put in a new ceiling and then watch the leaks happen there. But to your question that you were actually asking Tim is that's what Mark is gonna be going through is looking at everything I accomplished in the bond. What were the priority ones, twos, and threes? Are they crossed off? So this is what was remaining. But now, since that stuff is done, what is still sitting out there? So that's what's coming to you to see. And then we have that, you know, basically $10 million over the next 5 years available to then work on those projects. So that's what you'll see there.
Ask a quick question on the generator. I'm just curious as to what the expected frequency of utilization is. Do we have any idea how often they're used?
Raisinville's probably once a month at least. I don't know. I mean, Tim, they go out pretty often down there.
Yeah.
For lengthy times, too.
For lengthy times,
yeah. Generally, all of them are under programs with somebody. We actually had train at Mineral High School under similar type of things, you know, there for chiller work and stuff like that. But they are exercised in that, and God bless that they run as little as possible is the hope. But they are exercised to make sure that they're ready. But I'm certain Raisinville's will run.
A lot.
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine, like, Monroe Middle School probably isn't quite as bad and stuff like that because they're right in town. They used to
be. No one callers coming.
Just depends on how old this grid is before they want
to
move. You're right.
One blizzard. One tornado through town.
It's going to take them probably at least 30, 40 days put together. What we talked about today was weekly meetings to expedite that. I'm getting in here. Well, no, we just want it. We want it done too.
Manor was out for a while too.
Yep. So I'm gonna. You got a good point.
Was that Bar Building or is that ISD's?
Kadewish.
Yep.
That belongs to ISD.
Okay. And we still have the lease, right? They just.
Yes.
Cost and pay the operating costs.
Yep.
We service it, clean it, get all the fire inspections done. You know, daily at custodial there, but you know we're careful when we take on a project there that it receives approval because.
So there was a really good question asked on this side of the room, and I want to make sure to address it because it's right where it needs to be. Is how soon? So Dave and I and Tim, when we talked with Mark today, is we put it weekly. We're going to be meeting with him to go through this. We want to get back into your guys' hands as soon as possible because we would much rather be approving projects in September so that they're bid out. In December, January, you're actually doing these kinds of approvals at that point, so that the project is laid out rather than approving the work for now. We want to get kind of back on that cycle right there. And so it's not going to be, it'll be as soon as we can come in here and intelligently share this information, but know that the goal is that coming this fall that we're able to already know the things we want to do the summer of 24.
I think like Larry said, I mean, if we're going to have to wait 18 months for a generator to be built, I mean, we're going to have to plan way in advance.
Well, hopefully down the road that maybe some of those can happen faster.
Well, I'm hoping, but you know what? We just went to order one. They told me 18 months.
Yeah. So so those are the sinking fund projects. I want to get to the bid pack five and what that looks like right here. I'll do my best, and so Tim, Dave, you're going to need to help right here. And so understand this is the bond project. This has all been gone. It's gone through Kohler. It's gone through Clark. And it, this is what they, a year ago, they literally went through what they call a turn page, which is looking at the scope of the project. And so it was put out to bid. What, why this is in front of you now is it's the idea that we need to pre-purchase, okay? And that pre-purchasing is huge because, as we just talked about with the generator, if we don't pre-purchase now, we won't have product to do the work next summer.
What page are you
on? So this 160 in there. So I'm just going to open it up for questions that you may have around whatever your questions could be.
So this bid is a little over half a million, right?
Yep.
And that's just for, right, now what kind of HVAC equipment is that?
So this is all the stuff at, I believe this was at the high school, because that's what we looked at here recently, correct?
They're just buying it ahead of time for next summer's work, but they want to get it ordered so it's in here in time to do the work.
And this is sinking fund, not bond.
No, this is bond.
This is bond.
Yeah.
Where's number five?
No, we're in the second.
Number five is what your, bid pack five is what is coming before you tonight. That's why it's not on my spreadsheet yet, because it hasn't been approved.
Okay.
Are we in the second series of a bond step, or so what you were asking?
We have not issued the second series yet.
So this would come out of the first?
Correct.
And we still have sufficient funds?
Yes. With what we have, currently, there is about, $3.9 million that hasn't been allocated.
Do you remember?
This?
Was it that, or was it something that you were reading?
So where's this work being done at?
I'm sorry.
I see two things here, some plumbing and heating work, and then some electrical.
Oh, I got you.
And what building is this?
These are both for Monroe High.
Monroe High School.
Yeah.
Like F, G, H.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the remaining wing.
Okay.
F, G, and H.
F, G, and H, okay.
I got you. Okay.
Wait till June. Four hours here.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is just the pre-purchasing of equipment for next summer. And so that would be, I mispronounce it all. I just remember we did the turn page last week on what kinds of things we would be seeing in there. And so it's just the same, I know most of you weren't on the board then, but same equipment that they've been purchasing at the high school for the last four years here.
The difference with this one is they're going to be, the gym will get air conditioning. That was the one thing that we didn't have before.
What's that?
The gym would be air conditioning.
Gym would be air conditioning.
They'd be adding that.
At the high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Remember? We were up there when they were showing us that.
I think.
Air handlers.
Thank you.
This step in this phase that moves it more close to the boilers would be taken from the loft and put in a permanent position on the floor.
Yep.
The boiler room, Larry would understand this, the pit from the towers and stuff would all be filled at this point, the fact that that floor would become, a solid surface, and we moved our basis of most of the mechanicals back to the primary level. That was from the scope that I've been, involved with up to this point. That was a lot of the takeaway for me on that, is that process makes all that happen, which gets us, much closer to the finish line in there when that stuff all comes out of the old current chiller loft.
Right.
And gets moved to the floor, those pads all get redone, the crosswalks, the lighting, the way that's laid out in the pre-purchasing, a lot of that stuff to have it, to be able to do it at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, space-wise, where does that go, Tim? I mean,
I didn't hear you.
Space-wise, where do you put the equipment?
It's going to look a lot better in there. It's going to blow up like space in there, because it's going to, we're getting rid of the big old, the huge boilers and those standalones, while they're good sized, obviously, for that facility, are
right,
like half the size of those other ones, and the pads will be located and recentered, and the catwalks and everything for accessing them will all be redone. They're going to redo the stairs going up to that area for accessibility and safety, because they have room to move some things around in different positions.
Oh, okay.
So
maybe you can show us when we go on our site tour of the building.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Stairs, yeah.
All right.
Go in there, but
is it on the list?
What's that? Oh yeah, no. When we get the so in the fall, we're gonna try to do some stuff that you have this spring, but in the fall, when the bond work is done, we take a complete tour and so you can see everything that was completed in the summertime there. So what this is just pre-purchasing of the same kind of equipment we've been purchasing to change out stuff at the high school. So that concludes my part with the bond and site sinking. Look for, as soon as I can nail down, and my plan will probably be right now, we will not be probably meeting with Mr. Kohler in a regular board meeting or in a work session. We'll probably call for a special work session. Okay. So we have time just to sit around the table up in the front and actually have a conversation around site sinking and what's and asbestos and all that kind of stuff there too. So that will be done. We'll push to get that in the month of June.
Good.
That's coming up quicker than we think.
Yep, that's why we'll push. So next on our list is the PA system. Last month, I know it was brought before you and it was voted down. There's, I know, a lot of conversation. The takeaways that we had due to the PA system was we've learned that from administration side that more information is needed to be gathered for the board. And so we want to do that due diligence. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to Dave and Kevin. They're going to go through a presentation, and then when we get to the end, then we'll just ask, let's get into the questions, let's give them that time. And I'm saying that only because we want to try to, if possible, talk about the ISD budget yet, but knowing that we want to stay tight, so we do start our regular board meeting at 7 o'clock tonight.
Thank you.
I'll get through this, Andy, in 3 minutes.
There we go.
Oh, great.
We're going to race through it. So before we get started, I do want to apologize because I think with a project this size and the magnitude of it and how much the district really needs it, I should have done a better job at explaining it in the board briefs and just in the meeting in general. So Gavin and I met, and he really intimately knows this project. He went through the bidding process. We worked with previous vendors to go through the history of the project, why we needed it, and why we're asking you for this recommendation. So we just got a few basic points that we're going to maybe.
I'll drive it.
Kevin's going to drive for me. So the PA system in general, when I was a student years ago and now, is pretty much the same. It's a tool among many tools that is used, whether it's phones, radios, communication. It helps building administrators compete with the students based on the situation, whether it's an announcement for one room, if it's an announcement for the whole building, during recess, whatnot. That's really the reason we have a PA system in the school. Now, technology progressed, there's more features, and we'll go over some of those. But in general, that's what a PA system is. And one of the reasons when we asked the voters and we've been talking about upgrading the PA, and Tim can attest this because his crew actually maintain the existing PA systems. And I've been here for almost 25 years, and we have not purchased a new PA system. It's been parts, it's been trying to find used pieces. It's when we closed a school back in Lincoln, we pulled that equipment and tried to use it. So we're talking aging equipment. When we talk this last piece, the middle school, there's really only one-way communication. There's no way for a teacher at the middle school to initiate that communication or pick up the phone like they do in other schools. So it's really important that we finish that. But when you look at some of the systems that are antiquated, last year or 2 years ago at the high school, for instance, before the inspector would sign off at the high school, he said all plenum rated cable needed to be there. Anything non-plenum had to come out. So Dr. Everly worked out a situation to where we promised next summer all non-plenum rated cable would be abated and demoed out of the building. Well, if we were ever to do a major project at the middle school, all that cable is in the ceiling right now from 20, 30 years ago plus, before my time, that's not even plenum rated. So we could get into another situation where that cabling would have to be taken out. So that's another reason why it's kind of nice if we, as we went through all these buildings in the past, we took out the old cabling as well. We didn't just put in a new system. We took all the old stuff out. So there's definitely limited functionality with these systems. So for instance, right now at the middle school, if you did set up your bell schedule, you don't really have a quick, oh, it's a snow day, let's quick and make a few changes, and you can't. You're stuck with what you got. So these are old. You see the pictures. That's why we're really looking at switching. Everybody knows, you've been in the buildings, you've seen the old ones. Thanks, Kevin. So I asked Wendy to provide some information that we used when we initially, back in 2019 or 2020, went to the community and asked them, what's most important to you? What things do you want to see on the bond? And security was definitely on the top of the list. Mass notification, fire system, the PA system itself, because all of our buildings really needed an upgrade. So when we went to them, this is kind of was, it was their point for us that that had to be a priority. Thanks, Kevin. You can go ahead and switch it. So these slides here, and you have copies at your desk, you can kind of look through them, kind of shows what some of that information was and the technology that we needed, whether it be fire systems. And some of the buildings, I hate to say this, if they had to make an announcement, you would use the fire alarm system so you could talk to every classroom. So Mrs. Flynn.
Yeah, I can honestly say to you, and I've been here, this is my fifth year, I can tell you when I was at Monroe Middle School, I was so happy that we got the new fire system because it had a walkie-talkie that you could do an all-school announcement, but that's not the use of it. You're supposed to use it for only an emergency. But I know the last time I had it serviced, they had to wait because it was under DOS. And DOS is an old system. So this last time when Sarah called to have them come out to fix it, to be able to try to get some more use out of it, they couldn't even find a computer that they could use to upgrade the system. I mean, it's totally obsolete. And it's four floors.
So in Kevin, the next slide. So those last two slides in this one is really just kind of showing you the history of where the PA system was on the list and the priority that the district wanted to get those upgraded over time. So if we go to the next slide, this kind of just gives you basically, and this is when we were introduced to the bond, all of us, the team, was the architect and the deck engineers. They went through and came up with some solutions and basically started the bidding process to come up with a vendor to provide schools based on that bid pack timeline. And the first set of schools were, if you see there, some of the smaller buildings were done. AMCOM won the bid, and that was done due to time supply chain issues. We had to do some in the summer. I think we did Riverside and Custer too. Had to do some over the Christmas break, and then the following spring we finished those buildings, Manor and Raisinville, Waterloo, all those got finally completed. Then we jumped into bid pack three, and we did Custer in the high school, which left us with the middle school. And to part of the PA system in general was a two-phase process. So the first phase was getting everything inside the building, the speakers in the hallways, the classrooms, any speakers connected to the building for like playground usage. And then phase two, which was down the road, would have been your mass notification, tying in all your buildings, adding some horns to maybe playgrounds, like if you can think of Arborwood or Custer, way out there to cover all the property. But also, that mass notification was kind of a vague term because it depends on what the district wanted it to be. Is it something where you hit a button, it just called 911? Is it something where it tied into your doors during certain situations for lockdowns, for soft lockdowns? So there's different things. So that was phase two, which we haven't even got to. But for us, it was important to look at the middle school because that completed all of the actual buildings where students were in, other than the Learning Bank and Knabler Center. That's why if you see on this proposal that we have today, it does include some of the smaller buildings as well as Fenmore and the administration building. So that core infrastructure is in place that gives us the ability to move on to the next step of mass notification if we so choose to do that. Kevin. So some of the features of the new system, it does pretty much everything the old system does, but obviously with some new enhancements. And the two-way communication, so if somebody does call a classroom, the teacher can just talk back without actually hitting a button or doing anything. Or the teacher can actually initiate that communication from the actual room. Another nice system with this, especially our bigger buildings, is all of these speakers are IP-based. So basically, you can configure them. You can turn them up, turn them down. You would be surprised, and I mean, everybody has a different level that they like. Now we can do that. The old system, you had to go up in the ceiling, turn them down. Some of them did have knobs, but for the most part, you can control everything remotely. If a teacher calls a help desk now, they can say, okay, let me turn that down. Does that sound good? Okay, great. Also, we can cluster them. So now, if you want to, if you got the track team at the high school in A-Wing and they're practicing and, okay, we got to shut it down, you can make an announcement just to upper A-Wing, just to the fourth floor in the middle school, like we said, a playground. You can actually combine these speakers and make zones and actually utilize it more flexible for the building for other uses. So it really gives the schools a lot of flexibility. So as things change, you can change with it instead of manually going up in the ceiling and turning things down, up, especially on testing days. Another feature that we really love with this is each classroom has a amplified audio video system. So if you're playing a movie and there's an announcement, it automatically mutes the movie so you can actually hear the announcement. So specifically if for something safety or something, you would want somebody to hear that, which is a nice feature. So there's a lot of new benefits of this system, which is for us is nice, and it helps manage it. We know now if a speaker goes offline, we can see that as far as monitoring, where before somebody had to tell us, then we'd have to go out and check it. We can reboot it remotely. So there is some maintenance and some actual support things that can be done more efficiently. So when we do to the, so basically if we follow that timeline up until this year, looking at the escalation cost of the bond, it was thought of, okay, you know, we feel that we have enough experience that we can bid out this project and save some money instead of including that in the bond package, to have it engineered, to have it, you know, the architect take some money to do it, and then you have Clark to manage it. So we felt if we had to reduce costs in that bond, for us, it made sense to let's go ahead and bid this out, finish the building. We have enough knowledge now where we can configure it and actually tie in all the buildings together and get feedback from the buildings, what they like, they don't like, and actually start the school year in August at a very better place. Have training. We included in this bid package to allow all the teachers or principals or whoever to come in August to get better training. We didn't have a really good experience with the training. We had different vendors. Timelines were hard because of stuff didn't arrive on time. It just never fit to do a good, proper training that we felt was needed for the buildings. And also give them enough training so they can customize it and utilize some of these nicer features and not just the standard features that everybody's used to. Because there's a lot of new things that this system has to offer that we want them to utilize. So we wanted to go through this just because this was kind of a three-year process, the kind of a nice ending to get the middle school and the rest of the buildings in place. It was something that was really thought out. We really feel, I feel personally that I wouldn't bring anything if it didn't need to be done, but the middle school, and we didn't pick, I guess, the order. It was done based on construction and the bond projects. So to me, the middle school would probably been one of the initial ones because it was in bad shape. It didn't have the phones. We don't even know where they went. They've been gone for decades. So the middle school is not in a good place for the PA system. So if we really feel that this one is in need to get upgraded. And it's a tool the teachers use, the administrators use.
Yeah.
So the last part, too, is the funding mechanism. And so the funding mechanism is we always try to think in terms of most restrictive to least restrictive. And because, kind of like with the ESSER funds, we knew we had a lot of money in the ESSER funds. We wanted to see those monies get used, okay, for student achievement. But you also had such a large amount of money that is also being allowed to be used for the mechanical work we're going to have done. But it's more restricted. We requested, so here we said, okay, the bond could pay for this project, all right, because it's more restrictive. It's written in there. Sinking fund pay for it because it's restricted and it's allowable. All the way down, yes, general fund could pay for it. What we should be always thinking about, though, is the saving the most that general fund monies, because that's one that we can do anything with just about, okay? Mm-hmm. Rather than with the restricted ones, like do them with what we are allowed to do. If we use the bond money and spend the money there, we can, and we would just end up later on end up using sinking fund money to backfill maybe a bond project or something like that, which could end up happening anyways. But then even later on, you still have the ability to bring back and use general fund monies for any other projects. And you've seen that probably in the past where general fund ends up funding a project right there. But that's why we recommend that for the, in this project would be either to use the bond and or sinking fund to pay for that. And that's why I, at the beginning I said Cassie had pulled those numbers together. And if we use sinking fund monies, we're still left with $2.3 million after the fact. So with that, we're going to go ahead and open up to questions.
David, thank you for the presentation. That helped me understand the project a bit more. Could you talk a little bit about the RFP process, who is involved, and where, Darla, you won't like this.
Go for it.
wireless systems considered as well.
So in the beginning, we, and I'll just, from what I'm remembering, we met probably, 2020? We met in a room with the engineers, Clark Construction, DECA, I think Kohler was there, and they talked about, Dr. Evely kind of basically said, this is what we need, this is what our wants are. And I can't answer that because I don't remember any vendors that were considered that were wireless back in the initial phase.
Okay.
The reason we're requesting Valcom at this point is after Bid Pack 2 came out and most of our smaller buildings were completed, we wanted to get the same thing so teachers going between buildings, students, everybody was used to that same system. But Scott, to answer your question, we weren't, the way the bidding process went, they basically took what our needs were and they came down to Valcom would meet them the best, and that's the vendor that they chose. After that happened, we wanted to stick with them due to having supplies, management, you know, having the manageability being all the same with the buildings, especially the users on their side as well. But I don't remember anything with wireless being considered.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up because in our research recently, that has come up a lot. So it might have just been in the past 3 years, maybe it just, the price was just higher at the time. But I can't answer that. But I could reach out to DECA, though, and Kohler to find out if, like, why that wasn't considered at the initial.
Yeah, I was just curious if there was even a price difference or not in terms of, because you did mention the difficulty in terms of price of matching what you're doing with the
and with the wiring was not cheap. So, I mean, we had to pre-wire all the, every speaker has a cable connected to it, and that's $200 to $300 for every one on top of the price of the speaker.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a few questions here. Thank you for the presentation. In the board briefs, did you write up in the board briefs that was discussing this project? Yeah, okay. Because I'm going to refer to that.
Yeah, Kevin or I did.
Okay.
I can, what part?
Yeah. So in that, in your presentation, you talked primarily about a PA system and that this is primarily a PA system process. That's mainly what I got out of it. I know there were a few other things. But in the board briefs, it indicated that there would be over 800 cameras set up within the system that would be videoing and recording everything. So I obviously say, why was that not in the presentation? Because that's a pretty, pretty big component of it, 800 cameras. Now, I know how many schools are there plus the two centers? Are we talking about 11 buildings? Quote me if I'm wrong. You divide that out between 800 cameras, and I believe that the school buses were included in that as well. And then it also indicated that those cameras at the high school will also have AI functionality, which means the data, the way it explained it, would be feeding the data collected throughout the entire school day with all those cameras into an AI computer and, quote, would issue warnings such as people that cross specified boundaries. So that is a very big component of this project. Last time you had mentioned that it had the ability to lock down the schools, and because I referred to that. Why was that not included in your project? Because that's pretty big.
This is totally separate from that, but that is part of the security camera refresh. So we do have about 820 cameras, something like that. We wouldn't be refreshing all at the same time. That is just the total. So over the next 2 to 3 years, hopefully we could refresh those out.
But you're putting in, correct me, based on what I understood in the board briefs, was that what you're currently putting in place works alongside and with the functionality of those cameras, that when the whole system is linked together, it does exactly what you indicated with the AI functionality.
But they're totally separate. The PA system, in the end, in mass notification, could be tied in to maybe the doors, the cameras, possibly the cameras. I don't.
You said last time that the system would be able to lock the doors down.
They would, but the cameras have nothing to, that's separate.
So why were the cameras included in the board briefs as part of this project?
They were not.
I asked.
It's a separate project. It's a separate project.
Two different projects.
So the security, the PA system.
And that's not through Redline?
Red Letter.
Red Letter Productions?
We haven't bid that out yet, the cameras.
Why was that all?
Just to give you an update that it was coming. Our goal was to, we are meeting with Red Letters, the vendor, and iPro. We met with them on the phone to talk about solutions to upgrade the middle school and high school cameras. We already have enough to almost do the middle school. We're looking to finish the high school, but that would be once we talk with them to see what the needs are. And they do have artificial intelligence in the cameras. But that's needed for some of the newer, all the cameras coming out are going to have that if they don't already. You have a choice right now to pay up for it.
Yeah.
But that's separate than the PA system. That we were trying to give you some groundwork so when we get that pricing in, just to let you know that that's in the works. To replace one-to-one possibly, it might, some of the new cameras have two sensors in them. So there's some new technology that we might be able to reduce some cameras. But we were just trying to put that in there to give you guys a heads up that that's a project we'll be bringing forth later in June.
So this is strictly for a PA system?
This year? Yes. This is 100%. We're talking tonight about the PA system. The security cameras, we're hoping to bring in June, but we want to do our due diligence first, meet with vendors, look at what we have, let their engineers look at what we have to make sure we're bringing forth the best recommendation for the cost and for the money. But this is totally two separate things.
Thank you.
Got a question for Jeremy.
Yes.
reference, since we're considering using the sinking fund, I just read where the state legislature made some changes to what you can use the sinking fund for, like just in the last week.
They have been proposed. I don't believe the governor
I think it's been signed.
Has the governor?
Okay.
We don't qualify because we asked right before she signed it.
And ours is technically a renewal, so that would be if, say, this didn't get renewed,
okay,
and then we went out for a new sinking fund, then those new rules would apply.
Okay.
If that had been passed.
Yes.
Yeah, just.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew
she
I
just
know
signed
that,
it.
How that worked.
Yeah. Okay. So since it was already approved.
So we're clear here.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that. It doesn't take effect yet.
No,
it won't. That law won't take effect for a while.
Yeah, and I think it actually opened up, so you can more things qualify for some
computers,
it
buses.
Was adding some technology items and buses, but that doesn't apply to us as of yet.
Oh. Okay, good.
Are there any other questions of
my question, David
Kevin?
That,
yes, sir.
You gave us a presentation saying that the sinking fund. Bond fund, I mean, the proposal was that we're going to give the people a PA system. Shouldn't we use the bond fund for that if we told them that's what we're going to do then?
If I can, we can do that, but that means that something else will have to come out of the sinking fund that we also said. What we said we wanted to do and what we proposed to the public that they expressed that they would like to be done, we cannot do all of it with our current bond based on the escalation costs of items.
Well,
so
we decide what we can and what we can't. We got 3.6 million, right? We're done our series one, which is also time-wise. We're done our series one. We're
correct.
To our series two, we got 3.6 million. He only wants 600,000 of that.
Well, and that's where we said you could pay for it right straight out of the bond. Mm-hmm. And as what will happen is, we'll be looking at the future projects, mm-hmm. and then we'll come back to you and say, this is how much money we have, these are the projects, and then can the bond cover it all? It'll be a yes or a no, and if it can't, next would be sinking fund, and then general fund.
But shouldn't we have that all in line first? I mean, our priorities should be set straight, and we should determine what we want, what we don't want, instead of saying, well, we'll give you this here, and later on we'll come back with something else.
If I can. I believe they, when it was being discussed, the proposal to pull the PA system out of the bond because it was something that could be segmented out and it was permissible use in sinking fund, where we wanted to still be able to do the secure entrances at several of the elementaries that don't currently have it. They wanted to continue to do that, the HVAC upgrades at Monroe High, and some of those other key projects that the public put high on their priority list.
And I looked at this information that you gave us for the bond and says, oh my God, they're gonna get a new PA system. You know, I don't like anything else, but I really do like that PA system. So I'm gonna vote for the bond now because they'll give me a PA system. Now you're telling me, well, that's not going to be.
We did 75% of the bond, of the PA system out of the bond.
What if I'm only that 25% that I voted for? I mean, are we misleading the people in that sense? I mean,
no, everything.
This is what we're going to use it for. And we're really not using it for that.
Everything
that. Because we don't have the money.
Yeah.
Everything that we've allocated through the bond is allowable in accordance with what was proposed on the election and what the public elected.
Is that the Navarre Field? Does that include Navarre Field?
I'm sorry?
Does that include Navarre Field in the bond?
No.
I was just reading your chart off of Mary's paper.
No athletics.
Nope.
No. So to your point, as I said, we can use the bond money right now, but when the bond money, when the projects are wrapping up, and there's going to come a point right here where we're going to see, okay, how much money do we have left? And then prioritizing down what can be attended to. And so.
Should we do that first?
Well, that's my point is that some of that, these projects have already been already in play and going. And so that's why, you know, this is what I said at the beginning, this is a culminating project, really bringing it all to a close on the PA system. So paying for it out of the bond, it makes sense. It'd be done over the whole, PA system is paid for the whole bond. Looking at this list right here, as we wrap it up, it is safety and security. Those are the things that we're going to make sure we focus on right there. And what does that look like, though, for each of those main remaining buildings that we need to look at, mainly Manor and Raisinville, there, and what's those costs. So that's all what you're going to be seeing here in the months of June and July, is that whole layout of asbestos, sinking fund, bond, and how much money there. But now that we know, we're seeing some of the other factors coming in for next summer, that series there, five. Now we have a better feel for, okay, this is what that cost is. Now we can actually share, okay, this is what we know and what's going to be left available.
That doesn't answer my question. I mean, like I say, I mean, if you promise somebody you're going to use this bond money to do a PA system,
yep.
Shouldn't we keep our word on that? I mean, isn't that kind of important? Yep.
Well, that's there's a lot of stuff I think that we're going to see when it comes to the end of it, due to escalating costs that we couldn't get done.
What I mean, let's say for example, there's predicted a recession. Let's say we have a recession. I mean, you know, I guess we have no priorities set up. I guess if we had priorities set up and say, hey, this is our top priority, is second priority. That's why I was hoping Mr. Kohler would be here, you know, because he could tell us
but
that.
But on the bond, I think, believe you guys already had priorities set up. That the school safety and security was
in the PA system, though. That's
right.
The point, Andy.
That's right. So that, but we're saying at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying. Use the bond money then for this part. I'm just advising that at the end, you're going to end up most likely having to use sinking fund money to help offset other costs that the bond couldn't cover due to escalated cost.
I don't know that. I mean, I can't predict 20, 30 years out in advance, but
I'm talking in 2 years.
It wouldn't be 20, 30 years out.
We got more than 2 years to go, but because we got to do a second series.
Well, the series two is significantly smaller because we issued, I don't have the number in front of me, but we issued over $30 million in series one. So with the authorized amount of $59 million for the bonds, that only leaves a small portion, less than half of series one would be in series two. And then we would be at our maximum allocation that the election allowed. And we do have a priority list, and it's been discussed with both Clark and Kohler and the team here as far as what items we can still accomplish with the funds that we have. But until we see how those bids come in, we can't say, well, we have A through Z to be done. It looks like we can do A through M. So how are we going to fund N through Z? Until we have firm numbers, everything is just an estimation. And the discussions were that this was an easy piece to parcel off to fund out of the sinking fund and still accomplish a large portion of what we plan to do with the bond, such as the secure entrances, the HVAC upgrades, and other things. I don't have the whole list in front of me of everything that we wanted to do, certainly.
That's what we need, Cassie. That's what I'm saying. We need a priority list on what we prioritize. And I think Andy alluded to that earlier. Mm-hmm. We need to find out, you know, is parking lots more important than roofs or PA systems or whatever not. Once we have an outline of what we think is very, very important, then we can start chipping off.
Can I make a
If PA is the top, great. You know, we all agree PA is a top item, let's take it off first. If we agree that's not, then we'll put it down where it belongs.
Yeah. Larry, if
seems like that would make sense.
To back that concept, I think what would help us a lot, because I think what we're trying to do is figure out, okay, if we vote on this, how is that going to impact our decisions in the future? I think it would be helpful. Tim was talking about roofs earlier and a clear plan in terms of when roofs are coming due and so forth. I think a facilities management plan that kind of just laid that out would be of use in the future.
That would be excellent.
If I could jump on that.
Yeah, we are planning to work on that. That's part of the work that we're going to do with Mark Kohler.
Just in a line with this entire conversation, I think where I get caught up in this at is that component of it, because I want to see it. And then the other side of it is, it sounds like we're constantly being said, well, this is what the plan that previous board had put in place, therefore...
Well, the previous board did not put that in place.
Yeah. Okay,
I can assure you of that.
Okay, so that sounds like what I'm hearing is some of the stuff saying, okay, this stuff was already in place, therefore we have to go and continue with what they've already put in place. So that is not what it is? Yeah. Okay.
I would actually share that to your point, that looking at what was published to the voters was school safety and security, PA system. Those two things ranked to the top. And so using the bond funds right now to finish the PA system, that works. We were just trying to, again, we have a fiduciary requirement to share all facts with you so you can make a decision there. Most restrictive to least. So the bond works down the road, yes, as we bring back, as we're wrapping up the bond project, what's left out there? Did we cover all the stuff that people expected to be covered? It'll be a yes or no. We know with escalated costs, some things may not. Well, then what's our plan B there? Sinking fund to the general fund.
I think once we have that in place, then we can determine what we want to spend the money for. But I mean, if we're going to spend our sinking fund money for, let's say I don't think we need a roof, but let's say Tim comes back and says, God, guys, you know, you've got to have our new roof. Yeah. And if that's a top priority, then we've got to determine, do we want a roof or do we want a PA system? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'll help you there. The PA system needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's a culminating activity that we've already done in all the rest of the buildings. Dave already said very clearly, the only reason I went into the other buildings first had to do with construction, so it was just easier, which made sense, rather than tearing into, for example, the ceilings at the high school twice. Of all of our buildings, as he alluded, the middle school is the one that probably should have been the first on the plans to have been done rather than any other building. But because the middle school is having very little to no work done from the bond, that's why it was left to this point. Rather than bringing it to you as a bond project, we knew that we could actually handle it ourselves, so we didn't see the cost of using the engineer, using our construction management firm. So that's why we're able to save a fair amount of money on this. But back to this is a high priority. It's part of what the voters did state very clearly, school safety and security, PA system. And so I would just say then pay for it on the bond, please.
To me, I mean, I'm not saying this may not be a good project. I'm saying it's maybe time-wise not a good time because, again, maybe we should set our priorities first. then if a PA system, that's fine. You know, maybe we do want a PA system, the top thing. But let's get our priorities in line first, don't you think? Or?
So one of the things that we've been trying to do is back to the mass communication. And I don't want to, I can't go far into that because school safety is something we should address always in closed session. Under that, we're permitted to do so, so we're not disclosing how we handle stuff. But due to with the kind of capabilities we have with the PA system across the school district, understanding that mass communication is a key component. And I can leave it right there for you. So I do want to take, because we can, obviously when we get into the regular session, we can take more time right there, but I do want to take a few minutes and just go into, we did send out to the Monroe County ISD budget. It was a videotape, 23 minutes long, for you to watch. And so I've sat through many of those, as many others have potentially there. The ISD budget, as Josh clearly stated, is a requirement for the locals to either vote it up or down. If you vote it down, you need to state the reasons why you're voting it down.
Yeah.
About 5 years ago, roughly 5 years ago, you know that schools around the county did end up voting down the ISD budget. And that had to do with we really wanted to see more transparency in it. We wanted more opportunities for us to have a say in some areas. One of the big pushes we had requested was to receive special education funding, more of it in the fall when we don't receive our state aid, because remember that the ISD receives the vast majority of their funding through taxes, and that is all collected in December and in their hands in January, and we wouldn't see those monies until we got to that following November generally. And so we've been able to now, I believe it's Cassie, it's not August, it's usually early September.
It's usually mid September. We see a large payment.
80%.
Yeah, I was going to say 75% to 80%, and then we receive the remainder in December.
Yeah. And the practice had to do is SE 4092 reports, so the reports are all culminated, and then they were able to actually make those disbursements based on prior year's experience. That's why they would make that disbursement there. And so the ISD, they have a general fund that's their fund to run, and they supply services to all the locals, and then on the special education side too is services back to the locals. We do, as superintendents, have opportunity to work with the ISD on those services and on models there. But you know, their budget was presented, and I want to address any questions and just remind us if it was to be voted down, we have to have rationale for the reason we voted it down.
What are the other schools going to go to? I'm sure you pretend to have that discussion.
So getting back into the ring here, I did have conversations with a couple other SUPs that we had conversations a few years ago, and I'm expecting that they're going to be passing the ISD budgets tonight or when they meet. I haven't heard anything different. They'd be able to each district sit down and really talk to the ISD about their services and what they need. And so, you know, like I said, for us this year, things have gotten better. We saw we always have room to grow there, but there's no rationale that I could say to you tonight to say, hey, I think you need to take measures and not supporting the ISD budget. 4 years ago, I would have said to you, I need you to not support the ISD budget, but I can't make that recommendation to you today.
Now, I think the airport has their meetings on Monday. Did they
have I have them? Heard nothing from any of the locals there.
That would be like a hotline or something.
4 years ago, it was.
It's a Slack line.
3 years ago, it was. 3 years ago, a real hotline. Yeah, but that hotline it's cold now because there's more collaboration between the locals and ISD. So with that, that's all I have tonight for our workshop. I appreciate everyone's conversations and direction on this.
All right, well, seeing we have no new business and we have no old business.
Is it appropriate to ask about the last one for while we're still in session?
Which?
On the 6% increase in contractual amounts. And I just asked because my curiosity is about the RFP process that went into that. And
so we will, being that it's not on the agenda and we want in the start, we'll get into that. We're going to actually explain all that right before that.
Okay, very good.
Yep, during the regular meeting, that's part of the discussionary points.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
So.
All right, and that concludes our agenda. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Show of hands. Monroe Public School Board Education Workshop Meeting for May 9th, 2023 is adjourned at 6:50. We'll start the board meeting at 7 o'clock.